How's it going, Greater Nation? Chris Thomas here, and I'm with Good Times Tom Ladeau, who is very enthusiastic about the Iowa caucus. Tom, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. This is my favorite time every 4 years, the Iowa caucus.
What is it about the Iowa caucus that you find so exciting?
Well, all the polls and campaigning leading up to this big, special Iowa caucus. It is so suspenseful that I get goosebumps just thinking about it. I just love a large Iowa caucus in my face.
A what?
A humongous Iowa caucus just smack dab in front of my face.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I would put it that way.
Why is that?
Well, it is just one night, and so many candidates that have won the Iowa caucuses have never won the nomination to be the presidential nominee for either of the two parties. It seems like the Iowa caucus does not always mean very much.
The Iowa caucus means a lot to me. I'm going to have extra napkins ready so I can savor that plump and juicy Iowa caucus.
Okay, now, I don't even know what you are talking about at all.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Give me that gigantic Iowa caucus in my mouth.
You are one twisted guy, Good Times Tom Ladeau.
The thicker the Iowa caucus, the broader the smile on my face. I live for a turgid Iowa caucus.
You're just being ridiculous now.
I get into a deep funk when the Iowa caucus is not around. I just live to have the Iowa caucus shooting out a load of memories down my hungry throat.
That's sick and deranged.
So, what?
At the very least, can you tell me who you think is winning the Iowa caucus for 2020?
Well, Bernie Sanders, even though he seems to be a frail old man, seems to have a virile Iowa caucus that will just plow down the competition. Everyone, I predict, is going to gasp at Bernie's sizable Iowa caucus spraying away everyone.
Oh, goodness gracious. Very shameful remarks, you know that? All right, Greater Nation, there you have it. How's it going, Greater Nation? Chris Thomas here. Hope you're having a great kind of day. Now that Good Times Tom Ladeau is not in the studio, I have a chance to talk about things that have been going on of late. I have to be honest, it has been a rough week and change since the news of Kobe Bryant passing away came out. Just saying that still kind of rattles me. It's jarring, and I'm not sure if there's going to be a time when it doesn't. It just seems like it's so outside of the realm of possibilities and reality that you have to question, you know, how is that even possible? And I know people will say, well, there's risk tied to riding in helicopters, but he's done it so many times, thousands of times, to avoid Los Angeles traffic, that I don't know, it just doesn't seem real. It just doesn't seem feasible. Even though, yes, there is risk tied to flying in helicopters, he did it so many times that it happening to him, a plane crash, it just seems crazy. and I do think I'm taking his death harder than I have some of my own family members. Because the thing is that, you know, the behavior of some of my family members was not good. You could tell that there was a chance of something bad happening. With this, it was just out of the blue. And I don't know. It still bothers me. And I was going to go to a Royal Rumble watch party that Sunday, but I just couldn't. I was just so crestfallen. So I did watch it, but only on demand. And I didn't even watch the full show. I can only muster up the interest to watch the Bray Wyatt Daniel Bryan match and then the men's Royal Rumble match, because I was looking at the rest of those matches like I was a zombie. I just could not get myself to focus. But the Bray Wyatt Daniel Bryan match, very good match. Perhaps Bray Wyatt's best match of his career. But, I mean, what does it do for Daniel Bryan? Daniel Bryan makes pretty much everyone he's in a match with look good. But what's the trajectory of the Daniel Bryan character? And sure, a match like that helps Bray Wyatt. But if he doesn't have someone of the caliber of Daniel Bryan to help him tell a compelling story in the ring, then what is Bray Wyatt going to do? I'm not trashing Bray Wyatt. It's just, he doesn't really have a style that is conducive to the style that is currently being used by a lot of the performers in WWE and outside of the WWE. And not saying it's antiquated, it's just that it's very limited, and you can only do so much. You need someone that's very talented, and when you really think about it, that level of talent is not necessarily there. And then with respect to the men's Royal Rumble match, that was a great story told. I mean, the booking was very good. It was probably one of the better booked Royal Rumbles. Not better than the 92 Royal Rumble, of course, but still excellent. First half, Brock Lesnar dominating. Second half, Drew McIntyre eliminating Brock Lesnar and then rising to the occasion and winning. The thing is, though, is that is Drew McIntyre connecting with the audience? Is there a passion for Drew McIntyre being world champion? I don't know. He definitely has the look. He is skilled. But do people care about him? That's the ultimate thing. In terms of the Super Bowl, that was a great game, even though you can definitely say the calls were questionable. Whether or not Damian Williams was out of bounds or not with the Chiefs touchdown. I mean, people are going to be debating that until the end of time. Still, it was pretty nice to temporarily get my mind, and I'm sure a lot of people, get our minds off of just the terrible 8 days or so. 8 days of hell. Alright, Greater Nation. If I seem out of it, I apologize. It's just, there's a lot going on, and There are going to be changes to the podcast, partially because of our current hosting provider pretty much pulling the rug out from under us. And we'll talk about that in time. But I do appreciate... I'm not pilled up, I promise. I do appreciate you listening. And I ask that you download the podcast, subscribe, spread the word. Thank you very much, and we'll check in with you soon. Thank you.